السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Alhamdulillah, we have another session of reflecting on some of the names and attributes, beautiful names and beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, this is number 70 some, I'm not sure. The names of today are two names: Al-Muhyi, Al-Mumit. Al-Muhyi, Al-Mumit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that gives life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that takes life, the giver of life and the taker of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ How could you reach kufr and deny when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you did not exist, you were dead, and Allah put life in you, and then He will cause you to die, then He will bring you back to life. The existence of the universe initiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, the creator of the universe and everything in it. Allah is the beginning and nothing before Him. And Allah existed, an existence that different than our existence. Our existence has a beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence does not have a beginning. And our existence, from Allah's mercy, has an end in this life, but then it begins again. It continues in a different life, and it goes on, and it has no end. Hellfire and paradise, it has a beginning and it has no end. So those who have a beginning and no end will match at the end in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us to this life for the purpose of worshiping Him. He is the Creator. And the Creator is too merciful to create a creation and has no guidance for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance to His creation and guarantees it. So once Allah creates and puts haya, life, in anything, the sustenance is written, and it is known what this creation is going to consume until it reach death, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the sustenance that is written for them or for it in this life. So one will not, or death will not reach one before one completes his rizq in this life. From the food that you eat, that drink, the water that you drink, the clothes that you get, to the dwelling you're in, to the the animal or the car that you drive, to everything is measured for us in this life. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He creates, He guides. And Allah guides certain creation with guidance that's innate in it, that would have no choice but to surrender to Allah. And a creation that has a choice, us and jinn, that Allah will create it or created it with a choice, or us with a choice, and then guided us. That is our sustenance as well for our soul, the guidance. And it is the life for us. So there are those who are dead, but they are alive, meaning that their body is breathing, is eating, drinking, sleeping, and so forth, but they are dead. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, respond to Allah and to His Messenger when He calls you to that which put life on you, which put life in you. So Allah is calling, okay, believers, and they're already believers. But they could be believers that they're not implementing yet that which put them into truly and real life. The life of the guidance of Allah, the life of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is saying, respond to Rasul, to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which puts life in you. So there is a life that is different than the life that we know it as, it, that the one that make us move. There's a life that make us, they give us conscience, if you will. To be conscious of Allah, to be conscious of the reason and the purpose of the existence, our existence in the universe. So that is a life as well. That is a life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to everything. So everything exists is a living thing. Okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heaven and the earth, Allah called them to come to Allah, to come to Him. Tiya taw'an aw karha, come by choice or by force. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ, they said, we come in an obedience. We come in an obedience. Meaning that we come surrendering to you, Allah, without a choice. Okay? وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, but this amana, insan, mankind carried it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Okay, he commits injustice and he has some ignorance in him. That is a quality of man, carried, human being carried this amana. This amana, this trust, is carried and it has to be accompanied with guidance. The amana cannot be carried unless one takes the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one takes the guidance from any other source, then the amana is misused, or it has been put in a place where it is misplaced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the amana and how to deal with it, the trust and how to deal with it. Okay? Allah called the heaven and the earth to come, submit. They submitted without a choice. Mankind has a choice, but he is still called to submit to Allah. So he should come to Allah submitting. But Allah also gave mankind the ability to not submit, to the ability to disobey. So now, how could we disobey the guidance that give us life? As you know, a brother was reflecting the other day about how, or actually today, about how Ibn al-Qayyim, one of the words of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahmahullah, saying that man respond and trust and submit and surrender to Allah. Because if you don't do so, you're going to respond and surrender to something else. So it's better for you to submit and surrender to Allah instead of submitting and surrendering to something else. So if you don't submit to Allah, you submit to shahawat, desires. If you don't submit to Allah, you're going to submit to shubuhat, to doubts. So there is something that you're going to run to. Some desires, some goals for this life, some accumulation of wealth, whatever it is. Mankind must live with some kind of aspiration to in the future. So you better have this aspiration with Allah, because if it is not, it's going to exist, but it's going to exist with something else. Okay? And all of us who are alive are, as Muslimun, we look at the idea of surrendering to Allah and submit and being a Muslim to Allah, and we take it. But then we're not in a complete surrender with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each one of us has weakness that they are being drawn into something else that takes them away from submitting to Allah in particular area. And our struggle in this life is to stay away from it and go back to Allah and repent and decide and have the intention of not going back. So everything, submit to Allah in a beautiful way. Okay? In a beautiful way. One of the companions said that when one dies, the place that he prays in will miss him. And the place where his good deeds go up will miss him. Okay? Because there is no more good deeds coming out from this person, nor he's making sujood in that particular place. And that which responding to Allah and submitting to Allah will miss this person. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Fir'aun wa qawmi, Allah said, فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. The heavens and the earth did not cry over them. The heavens and the earth did not cry over them when they were gone, when they were destroyed. So the heaven and the earth, according to this, has an emotion. It's alive, but it is fully submitting with no doubt or no choice, surrendering to Allah. So it is surrendering to Allah is so much that in the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the skies is jealous or angry about mankind and expressing it to Allah. Okay? He eats from your sustenance and take from your sustenance and does not worship you, Allah. Command me, Allah, I will open up and send kisafan upon son of Adam, so I will destroy him. This is what the sky is saying to Allah. It's alive and it is Muslim. Saying, command me, Allah, this mankind is not worshiping you the way they should, command me, I'll destroy him. And the earth is saying, Allah, son of Adam, he's taken from your rizq and hold him back in your ibadah. So murni Allah, command me Allah, I will open up and swallow son of Adam. The earth is alive and it is submit and surrender to Allah and talks to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith says, Da'uni wa ibadi, leave me alone with my servant. Allah is saying to the heavens and the earth, Da'uni wa ibadi, leave my servants alone with me. Okay? They are my servants. Okay. If they worship me, فَأَنَا حَبِيبُهُمْ, I am their beloved one, if they worship me. وَإِذَا عَصَوْنِي فَأَنَا طَبِيبُهُمْ, and when they disobey me, I am their doctor, if you will, the one who brings the cure for them. That is show the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. The love that Allah has for us. Okay? We disobey Allah, and Allah says, I am your caretaker still. And I will take care of you. And I will cure you from what you have, these sicknesses. Okay? And Allah says, when you obey me, I will love you. When you obey me, I will love you. Okay? I'll be your beloved one. I'll be your beloved one. And I am your beloved one. Okay? So life exists in everything. And the only one that takes life is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the time comes, our life will be taken away. Our soul will be taken away. The separation between the body and the soul that created the nafs will come again. There was a certain life in the sperm and the egg. They connected and created, that is, alaqa, nutfa and alaqa, that hangs in the womb of the mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it in different stages and then sent an angel to it. And one of the commands of the angel to it would write when it will die, when this person will die. And it becomes a different life, meaning life will be put in it. It will become a person then. The sperm and the egg is not a person, but has a living component to it. And that living component came from our father. And that living component in our father, or that life from our father, was given by his father. And we trace this life back to Adam alayhi salam, when he was created from clay. And Allah said, فَإِذَا نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ, when I blow in him from my ruh, then you make sujood to him. Allah said to the angels. And that ruh from Allah was put in Adam, and Adam alayhi salam sat up, sneezed, and Allah says, Alhamdulillah, he said, Alhamdulillah. And then the angel said, Yarhamukallah. From that point, Adam alayhi salam has that soul, that ruh from Allah, and Hawa, his spouse, was created from him, from the same ruh, and they had relationship and they had children that carry that ruh. So the ruh that we have is connected all the way to the time when Allah put it from him into Adam alayhi salam. So we recognize Allah, this hayah that Allah has given us. Allah talked to us in the back of Adam alayhi salam and asked us a question, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى. They said, indeed you are. Am I not your Lord? Indeed you are, Ya Allah. We responded when we were in the back of Adam alayhi salam. And each one of us, meaning mankind on earth today, they recognize the existence of Allah. With this question, with this existence that happened at the time of Adam alayhi salam, we recognize this. It is an innate quality that we have. And we know that this is it. This meaning, this ruh is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who responded to it, to this feeling and this call that Allah calls man to, they will go back to becoming a way of matching with why they were created, the purpose of the creation. That is a comfort of life, a comfort of being alive. A man came today before Jum'ah, and he came to the masjid, someone introduced him, and he said he wants to know about Islam, and he sits, and he sees his shoulders down and sticking down. And again, when somebody, you know, comes and want to ask about Islam, you try to find out what does he know about Islam, and what religion he used to carry or he's carrying, and why he wants to leave his religion and all of that. I tried to knock on these points, and his response was, several times in the discussion, there is something missing. There is something missing. Okay? That is the cry, the inner cry of the soul, saying, I'm suffocated, I'm dying, and I need nourishment. The soul needs to respond to Allah and His Messenger so it become alive, become truly alive. And alhamdulillah, he accepted Islam. And he is in the police department as a detective. You know, why I said that? I said that to show you that, you know, in history, philosophers say religion is the drug of the poor, right? Meaning, you know, you are a failure, right? So you become religious because you're not succeeding in anything else. So hang your problems on religion, okay? No. You know, you have many people by the standard of this life, of the secular thinking, are successful, but they are dead. The body that we have, the physical body gets sick and it needs dawa, it needs a medicine, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us to seek a cure. Okay, seek the cure, seek a dawa, and we seek medicine. And if a dawa matches a da, if the medicine matches with the sickness, then Allah will bring the shifa. Then Allah brings the shifa. The dawa does not bring the shifa. The medicine does not bring the shifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the shifa. The soul, it aches as well. It suffocates, gets suffocated as well. And it needs to come to life. It needs sustenance. It needs maintenance. And the only way to maintain it is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed it for it. There is no other way. The maker will put the manual for his creation for its maintenance. for its maintenance. Allah gave us the maintenance for the body and give us what to eat and what not to eat and how to eat. And Rasulullah ﷺ showed us how to eat and fasting, an obligatory action upon all of us. And the soul as well, the standing. You know, there are, when Rasulullah ﷺ said that when you about dozing, you know, in the morning, you know, waking up and you just awake, there is a tendency for us to go back to sleep a little bit more, and some of us will continue sleeping. That is when laziness come around and one will lose energy during the day. And you would think that this is something would be good to do. I want to sleep more so I get more energy. That's not what Rasulullah ﷺ said. If you open your eyes, get up, and one knot over your head that that shaitan tied will open. Make wudu, and another one will open, and the third one will open, will be untied when you pray to rak'at. And if you don't and go back to sleep, then you will wake up lazy. You'll wake up heavy. That is a maintenance. It's part of the maintenance. Okay? How to be light and energetic. So it is not by what makes sense. It is by the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we deal with anything that we buy, we obtain, we carry, we do not ask about the maintenance. We do ask about the maintenance, and we do not question the maintenance. We do not make up our own way of maintaining. We tell we get the pamphlet or the booklet that tell us how to maintain this object that you buy. And why? So it will last long, so it will function for the purpose of why it was made. Allah made us, created us. Allah gave us a manual. With that manual, we will function the best way, the best purpose for our purpose in this life. We'll perform the best way possible. So we live, Allah give us life, a physical life and a life in our soul. And both needs maintenance. And only Allah, the one who gives the life, and only Allah is the one put maintenance for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a life. And that is guaranteed. But we don't know when this will happen. We don't know when the command will be given, so the heart will stop. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We do not know when the command will be given, so the heart will stop and death will come. Death is a creation that Allah created. Okay? So we must prepare for death all the time. If we know we're going to die the next hour we'll die. When I ask that question, what is closest to you? Not knowing when you're going to die, or you're dying in the next hour? Not knowing when you're going to die is closer. The possibility of that could be closer. Okay? So death is so close to us that we don't know when it's going to be. And it's not connected to anything. It's not connected to sickness, not necessarily. It's not connected to age. It's not connected to anything. It's connected only to Allah, who says, be and it is. when Ibrahim alayhi salam talked to An-Namrud and he said, "Inna Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit." Qala ana uhyi wa umit. The king, when Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "My Lord is the one who gives life and take life." Okay, yuhyi wa yumit, al-muhyi wal mumit. The king says, "I take life and I give life and take life." How? He commanded a guard to get two prisoners and said, "Let this one go and kill this one." Of course, that is not what Ibrahim alayhi salam said. Allah is the one can take life without destroying the physical body by the command, "Be and it is." And Allah is the one that put life in dead things that comes back to life. But this king, there were two lives already, and he kept one, and he destroyed the physical body in one, so the soul cannot exist in it. Point being is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to things in time for our provision, or provision. The earth, it is quiet, and it has no movement. When the rain comes to it and hits it, اهتزت وربت, it is shaken and it increases in size. And then it brings out what's in it, sustenance for man. Allah brought that which is in a state of death to state of production. You know, in some tombs, they discovered in ancient people, they found some grains of rice or wheat or something, some of sort. And when they took it out and they planted it, it produced wheat and rice. Yeah, imagine that. You have, here is some wheat that is 5,000 years old. Imagine that. And you put it in the ground and it grows. What a beautiful scene that would be. You have a grain that is growing, and you take, you know, that plant, and you say, "This plant, it came from a plant that was on earth 5,000 years ago." Okay? It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives life and take life. When we surrender to Allah, Allah will give us life, hayah, that is hayah, that is pleasurable in this life. And the one who stays away from the obedience of Allah, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, and remembrance of Allah, he has a ma'isha, living that is ضَنْكَ. And he will be taken in the hereafter as blind. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. My Lord, he will say, "Why do you take me blind now when I used to be able to see?" Allah will tell him, كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى, that we have sent you our ayat and you forgot about it, you turned away from it, so today you will be forgotten. Today you will be forgotten. The remembrance of Allah in this life will keep us in a good life and take us in a good life in the hereafter. It will take us in a life that will end up with the pleasure of Allah without possibility of disobedient and displeasing Allah. A beautiful life where you are not capable of displeasing Allah, where you're not capable of committing a sin, making mistakes. So that life, you don't pay for anything. You already paid before, because your pain and suffering in this life could be a payment to what you have done, in short, your shortcoming. But once you are in Jannah, there is no shortcoming anymore. So, and this is truly something that is so pleasurable, and you cannot imagine it, but we can understand and begin to understand it. Okay? Can imagine it, but you cannot quite experience it, because it's impossible to be experienced in this life. But what we can experience in this life is the pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. So, if you have your own Jannah in your own chest, then what can anybody do to bother you? If you have your own Jannah in your own chest, what can anyone do to bother you? That's what Imam Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, that ماذا يفعلون بي وجنتي في صدري. What are they going to do with me when my Jannah is in my chest? So, whatever it is that they do, they cannot take it away. And who puts this Jannah in your chest? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that puts this Jannah in your chest. And why? It's a payment and a blessing from Allah and a bounty from Allah to give you for your attempt to do the best you could do. So the bounty of Allah is so much that you're still committing sins, but Allah will give you bounty because you're repenting, because you're trying to do good and you're taking steps of doing good. As we said in the Khutbah of Jum'ah today, you're running to Allah. And when you run into Allah, Allah will take care of you, and Allah will give you Jannah. Jannah in this life and Jannah in the hereafter. Jannah in your chest of comfort and pleasure of this life, and Jannah in the hereafter where nothing, which is Dar es Salaam, the Dar of the abode of peace, the abode of peace. Peace where there is no harm. Peace where there is no harm. No, harm is a bigger word. With no bother. Okay? Peace where there is no bother. Because if we say there is no harm, maybe something will bother you but not harm you. But when we say no bother, that means there is no harm either. So there is no harm, no bother, meaning nothing will displease you or kind of make you give you discomfort. Nothing will make you give you discomfort. Imagine that. Imagine that you are in a place that you have, Allah has given you a life again in it, but that life has no discomfort. No discomfort. As I'm talking, and each one of us talks, you have to stop talking to take a breath, because if you do not take a breath, you will die. So you are designed as such. But in Jannah, there is no death. So can you imagine how you're going to talk in Jannah? Now just think about that. Okay? You're not inhaling and exhaling in Jannah so you could survive, so you could live. So the nafas, the breath in Jannah is praising Allah. The breath is praising Allah. Okay? So imagine you're going to put something in your mouth to taste that is so delicious, but you do not have to stop chewing to take a breath. You understand? You don't have to go through this dynamic of doing things of maintenance, otherwise harm will come to you, because in Jannah there is no harm and no bother. What kind of a creation that is? That is so beautiful, peaceful, special. Okay? That is hayah in the hereafter. That is hayah in the hereafter. And mamat in this life, when one dies in this life, the indication of the hereafter will appear. And it is blessings and closeness to the hereafter of pleasure, or curse and a closeness to the hereafter of punishment. Okay? And they will be those who are, will be the people of Al-A'raf, the people that on high places between, or high place between Jannah and Nar, between paradise and hellfire, they will be there. And they are equal in good deeds and bad deeds are equal. So they will recognize the people of paradise and recognize that this is what Allah promised, and Allah gave them what they promised. And they look at the hellfire and they know that this is what Allah promised, and they give them, those who are in it, what Allah promised them. For that recognition, they ask Allah, Allah will respond to them and they will be put in Jannah. The mercy of Allah comes before His anger. So much mercy. Allah, give us life. And the one that gives life loves the life that He gives. The one that makes life, Allah likes what He made, what He created. Allah loves us. And when we live to our potential, or try to live with our potential of closeness to Allah and obedience to Allah, we'll become Ibadur Rahman, the servant of the Most Merciful. Okay? It will be the one that, you know, will go into Allah, the one who created us. He created us. Allah will take care of us. Allah will take care of us. When you are falling, Allah is too merciful to let you fall, unless that fall is good for you. And we never know. But you know, when you are a servant of Allah and trying to best the best to be so, your life might become difficult, and it will become difficult, but you know that this is from the love of Allah to you, for you. It's for your own betterment in this life, and for even better, for the betterment of the hereafter. It's a life. Islam is to submit and surrender to Allah. Allah created us, body and soul and everything. And Allah will accept nothing less than everything that He created back to Him, submitting to Him. That manifests in the prayer, in salah, standing up. Here is a command to stand, you stood. Command to face Mecca, face Mecca. Command you put your hand in a certain way. Command you recite a certain way. Your body surrender to a certain direction and a certain stand. Your tongue is reciting, submitting to Allah, reciting what Allah commands to recite. Your eyes restricted to whatever under you looking at, or in front of you looking at. Your nafs, your soul has a khushu' to Allah. Now totally you are surrendering to Allah. Now you need to work. That's what we need to do. We force our body to do certain movement in the prayer, but then we have to really work hard on our heart to do the work of khushu'. And this work is the best work. This knowledge is the best knowledge of how to worship Allah, and the knowledge about Allah, and the knowledge of the Sharia of Allah. All other knowledge could be put on it, and the knowledge of Deen will enhance all other knowledge. But all other knowledge not necessarily has to be put up with the knowledge of Deen to enhance the knowledge of Deen. See? No, you'll be a better Khalifa on earth when you have other knowledges, yes. Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayru min al-mu'minu al-da'if. A stronger believer better than the weak believer, but both of them are good. Goodness in both of them. Okay? But to seek knowledge of this life only, without seeking knowledge of the Deen, only the knowledge of the Deen will bring a tear or soften a heart and give khushu'. It will change you as a human being to become a better one. The knowledge of this world, will never bring you to that. Will not touch your heart, will not bring a tear to your eye unless somebody is beating you up. You know, the person who came before Jummah today, that is what he was expressing. Okay, there is something missing. I'm in pain. Okay. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the real life in us, the true life in us. Yes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the life that He wishes for His servant in this life and the hereafter. InshaAllah, please go ahead and start making the comments, inshaAllah. You have the microphone? المحيي والمميت.
As-salamu alaykum wa
rahmatullahi.
In this ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu astajeebu lillahi wa rasool iza da'akum wa yuhyikum
lima yuhyikum
lima yuhyikum wa'alamu anna Allah yahoonu bain al-mar'i wa kalbih. How does the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you explain the last part?
Wa'alamu anna Allah yahoonu bain al-mar'i wa kalbih.
Right. The Tosharun part is understood. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes between
a man and his heart? Yes. That Allah does not come between the man. Allah can put an obstacle between one and Yahulu. Allah Yahulu, meaning He puts a barrier between one and his heart. Okay. Meaning that one needs to be honest and sincere in the relationship with Allah. Do not stop responding or delay responding while you're sinning, while you're doing other things, and say, I'm going to respond later. Allah could put a barrier between you and your heart and not be able to respond later. Okay? So this is a barrier that one will die on that which they lived on. So those who lived on disobedience, insisting on it, not having intention to respond to Allah and His Messenger, will die on it. And also those who have obedience, intention to be on Allah's path and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will die on it in a way of responding to Allah and His Messenger. So, meaning, do not think that this is something mechanic that you could do. It is from Allah to give you tawfiq to be able to do that or not. If you don't deserve it, Allah will put a barrier because you don't deserve it. We have the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying the man who does the work of seems to be doing the work of people of paradise, but he a man who deserves in hellfire. Obviously, because of his intention, because of, you know, he's not responding to Allah in his heart. His heart is different than what he has in his heart, is different than what he has with his limbs. So he does not deserve Jannah. So before he reach his death with an arm span or a hand span, shibr, a hand span, Then Allah will take him to do the work of people of hellfire. He'll deserve hellfire, enter hellfire. So that is, you know, a hala between one and his heart. Because again, if one deserves it, will get it. If one do not deserve it, Allah will not be able to give it. Allah will not enable him to get it. Wallahu a'lam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's exactly what Ibn al-Qayyim said. You remember when we read the book, he was talking about this ayah. And if you go back, brother Salim, what Allah said before it, the before it explain it, he said, istajibu, immediately, now, istajibu, that's fa'al amr, that's mean now, respond now. So if you don't, if you, like Sheikh Mahmoud said, if you delay, he said, oh, come on, I will pray when I am after 40, I will go to Hajj. No. Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Respond immediately to Allah and His Messenger if He called you to the things put life in you, which is Islam and Iman and...
not so, necessarily to jihad, no.
Right. If you did not respond immediately, then he said, be aware that Allah could put a barrier between you and heart. And later when you want to respond, said, okay, now it's time. Allah will not permit you. So, wa'alamu, and know, right? Know, be aware or have a knowledge that بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشُرُونَ
وَأَنَّكُمْ
إِلَيْهِ تُحْشُرُونَ
And, so, and not too long after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً.
But this is Fele Mudare.
Which one?
The Innallah Yahulu. Other one is the Akum, when he called you.
Right.
So it means that was the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it all the time, this barrier, or only when you call?
No, that means, no. Innallah Yahulu Bayna Mar wa Qalbi.
Stating a fact.
Yes. It's a statement of a fact.
That's kind of possible.
No. If I can say, "Anta rajulun yaktubu," "Anta rajulun yaktubu." Okay. You are a man who can write, who's right.
That's a fact. With the verb is
not necessarily you are writing past. Now. Yes.
It's a fact. You have to put the fact in a time. So this is a fact. Like, know that Allah. Capable of
that Allah does that.
Yeah, Allah does that. Capable of being between you and your heart.
He does that, or He will do that.
And He will do that, exactly. So, this is an encouragement to us to rush up and answer Allah and His Messenger when we have command. So, we don't say, okay, and then let me, you know, I will buy this house and mortgage, and then maybe the second house I will go and leave interest. So, just one thought. I was thinking about when you said this life hereafter, this life. The basic principle of this life is a punishment, right? I mean, go back to the original of this life. Adam alayhi salam was punished in this life. It's not something to look
this
forward to.
This is a result of his punishment.
It's a punishment. Yeah, when you think about it, it's not something great because it's a punishment. Allah said to him, "Now I'm going to punish you because what you have done. Go." To the earth, you will live in it, and blah blah blah. And in another verse, Allah explained it. He said, "Fatashqa." He said, "Do not come near this tree because you're gonna get hard time. You will serve hard time." So this life is punishment, actually. So we have to always, you know, think about that. You know, it's not something to look forward to. Wallahu a'lam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'll just add that this life is not only punishment, it's a test actually. It's the whole life is a test.
Yes.
And you have to go through the motions of whatever comes to you and then do or act
yes.
as per Allah and His yes. Messenger's yes. commandments.
Yes.
And you have the choice to live or to die, or you disobey and you die, and you live and you follow Allah's commands.
Yes.
So it's a test. The whole life is a yes. test actually.
But what's beautiful about it that it is an open book test. Yes.
I mean, we are a student when upon the time, you know, right? I mean, who loved the test? No, I mean, who said, okay, I don't want vacation, I don't want summer, leave me in the test, please, I want to stay in the test. We all want to get rid of the test. It's a punishment. Mm. But what I love from the non-Muslims, when somebody died, they said, okay, now he's resting in peace. This is hilarious when I hear them saying, now he's resting in peace.
He's resting in pieces.
Yeah, in pieces.
But even if it's a punishment, Allah...
Wallahu a'lam.
Oh, no, we are not pushing for death. See, if you are punished, you should want it to end. Yeah. Of course, yeah, but he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not wish for death.
I know. But if it was a punishment, we should all wish for death so that we could get out of the punishment.
This life, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's a prison for the believer. The prison. You know how prison?
Right.
And Jannah for the disbeliever.
Right.
So, but he said, do not wish death. Right. It's a prison, but do not wish death. Yeah. But still, my point is, do not look forward to more years to come and more properties to buy and more cars to drive.
Yeah, but you should look for more years for repentance.
Oh yeah, that's true. If you could have more time to repent and start the next kafar and serve Allah.
But we'll postpone actually.
I don't
postpone
it.
Yeah, repent right now. Yeah.
You don't want to.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Microphone.
Inshallah, it is another. It is one way to look at this life is punishment or test. But other way that this was Allah's plan to set the life on the earth the way Allah has planned. It may look to us either way, but that was one of His plans to get the human being on the earth. And to establish His Khilafat on the earth. Also, like Imam Wazir Ali, when he gave the Jummah Khutbah, he said that when Allah has given us life and the bodily functions, He has a control over that. If He had given us control that, okay, this is in your you do whenever you want to breathe, and it is up to you if you don't want to breathe, so we may forget to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So those part of functions of the body, He has the control over that, and alhamdulillah, that is His mercy, yeah, that He kept that control. And with each breath, doctors know better that the blood circulates all over the body. And if we have the control over circulation of the body, we may forget to send to the foot or to the hand or arm or something. We may not be able to distribute the clean blood all over the body or something. Mm-hmm. This is Allah's mercy, mm-hmm, subhanAllah. So, mashallah, he alhamdulillah, He is Muhyi and He is Mumi, and that is His blessing.
Alhamdulillah.
Like all His names, attributes are beautiful. Mm-hmm. These are two very beautiful
Masha'Allah,
attributes.
Masha'Allah. And do not forget, brothers, that this life is the one that you're working in to put the seeds for the hereafter. It's a field that you are working. Mazrat al-Akhirah, yes. So work in this farm, so you could harvest in the hereafter. Yeah?
What were the two names of La'om? Allah?
What were the two names of Him?
Muhyi and Mumit.
The scholar said there is 99 names, right? You know that. But he have more names than this. Allah. This is attributes, it's not only names. You know attributes? It's something Allah, the attributes of Allah is
unlimited.
You describe
Allah and these attributes. We don't describe him in any other things except what he described himself. So it's not a name like, you know, like you, John and Loy and whatever. No, no, it's not a name, but it's attribute for Allah. And we could call him by it. We could call Ar-Rahman, that's his name, right?
Ar-Rahim.
We could say Al-Muhyi. Yeah, we could make dua or supplication to Allah by this name's attributes. Would show us what he capable of doing, you know, and how there is a lot of them, but we know 99. Oh yeah, yeah. We there is
names. Allah is unlimited, and unlimited. His attributes is unlimited, but because of this life, the limit of this life, what we know about Allah is limited to this life. When you go to Jannah, inshaAllah, you'll have a lot more knowledge about Allah.
I mean, our knowledge is very limited, right? Do you agree? Yeah, because 100 years ago, you know, somebody said to you, can you Google this in the internet? I said, what Google? What do you mean? I said, oh, you don't know Google? I said, no. Right? Yeah. I mean, now we know, you know, iPhone, Google, and after 10 years, there's things you don't know now, right? If you live enough, you will know it. So Allah also have so many attributes and capability. We have no idea what is it. So we cannot call it because we don't know it. And we will know it in the hereafter. When we die, we will know what's these names.
We're done, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.